It's pretty close to my like you wouldn't be able to see.
Can we start now?
I guess. I was trying to explain something very important to you.
10, 9, 8, 7.
Wait, we got to do the clap.
Clap.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome into another episode of the Found Generation podcast, a podcast for young people. That was the voice of Kelsey Davis, my best friend, who returns to the show again this week because, well, you just wanted her to. We received a lot of great comments last week, so I wanted to bring her on again. Now, I will tell you that this week's episode is different than last Wednesday's. We'll get a bit more serious, a bit more vulnerable, as I will talk about some of my struggles with depression, and Kelsey will dive into her issues with body image. We will also recap our incredible getaway this past weekend to Ireland. Before we go any further, I want to remind you that this episode is also on YouTube, so if you prefer to go watch this instead, please visit my YouTube channel, the link to which is in the show notes of this very episode. Thank you for checking this out. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Kelsey Davis as much as I did.
The now most appearances on the Found Generation podcast, Kelsey Davis. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Hello.
Back by popular demand, Kelsey.
That's ridiculous.
Our podcast last week that we put out, it kind of popped off. I mean, we got new subscribers, both on your TikTok, my Instagram, my YouTube channel. We got a whole bunch of comments. And in my, in my world, any type of comment is a good comment, whether it is vitriolic. If you're commenting, it means you care. It means we impacted you in some way. I will say we got a lot more hate than love. What were some of the comments that we got?
The hate comments are absolutely brilliant. I encourage them, truly. They make me laugh so much. One of them was like, why do we need this? I was like, fair. That's valid. So valid. You don't need anything we're going to say, but that was funny. What else did they say?
My favorite one was, and I forget who the young woman that left the comment, but I think I posted a video on YouTube Shorts, which I'm a big fan of, and this woman commented, I don't know what this is, but I'm here for her.
And then she followed me on TikTok, so that was really nice. We'll give her a shout out, whatever. I think her name is Michaela.
That's not it. Okay. Followed us both on TikTok. Followed the podcast on YouTube, which, by the way, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and shout out to our YouTube audience as well. Kelsey, it was a lot of fun connecting with you, and I guess I don't realize how good our banter is or our dynamic is just because I'm so used to it, but I guess people don't really have a friendship like you and I do, so it make me feel really good about it, actually.
Someone recently described our friendship as...
Oh, boy, don't do this.
Brother and sister with sexual tension. Which, like, that was so off-putting, but not wrong.
Not wrong. I mean, anyone who spends, honestly, like, anyone who spends 5 minutes around us is like, oh, there's something going on here, right? Stop acting like there's not.
Yeah, we'll get back to you on that one. I'm emotionally unavailable.
Yeah, we'll leave what was said to us the other day for the ones who pay the, $6 a month for the extra subscriber-only podcast.
Yeah, yeah. You make the interpretation because we're unsure. Okay. Moving on.
A bunch of things to talk about today, Kelsey. First of all, we were just in Ireland for 5 days, and I am still recovering. You can probably hear it in both of our voices. We sound dramatically different than last week's podcast. I'm all nasally. I'm wearing my I am unwell sweatshirt. Shout out to my colleague, Alex Cooper, and call her daddy. You don't sound great. You look great, but you don't sound great as well. I haven't slept in days, and I'm still recovering from the shit show that we put our bodies through.
Ireland took everything from us. I left my soul there. Ireland won. So we went to Galway for 2 days, and then we went to Dublin for 2 days. Huge fan of Galway. 10 out of 10.
I'm so glad that you agreed to go to Galway because I don't think it took much convincing.
No, I'll never go to Galway, Troy. No shot.
But we had been, before we came to the UK, we were thinking about all the other places that we wanted to go while we were in Europe, and you wanted to go to Ireland. And I said, sign me up I have to go to Galway. I don't care what you say. And then you're like, yeah, sure, we'll go to Galway. Because I went to Galway where I studied abroad in Scotland in 2016. And it was the most genuine fun I've ever had in my life. And I've been thinking about Galway ever since and how much fun I had. So once I knew I was coming here, I was like, I have to go to Galway. And we went for 2 days and it was just so much fun.
I mean, last week on the podcast, we were comparing Boston to London. And this entire time, I was kind of comparing Ireland to London, which, Shay, I am so sorry. My best friend loves Ireland and wanted to be the one to take me there, but I just couldn't pass up on this opportunity. Here I am wiping my nose. This is so disgusting. Ireland made me ill. But I loved so many things about it, specifically the people. You could feel the drastic difference when we walked into Taft's. We're listening to live Irish music. The energy is unbelievable. To be fair, we went during Rag Week. And for those who don't know, Rag Week is essentially when all of the college students, it's not like before finals, like there's no specificity. No, to why Rag Week is that week. But essentially the college kids go out every single night of the week. It was unbelievable energy. They pulled me up on the dance floor. They taught me how to Irish dance. The girls were so kind. And, you know, I just haven't experienced people like that ever.
Yeah, Rag Week is kind of the equivalent to Rush Week, just without the rushing, but just kind of the vibe of where everyone is going out every night.
I don't think that's how Rush works, but okay.
No, and I'm just saying, like, no, like, when you're, like when you're pledging. No, what, like, when you're, like, the beginning, the first week of a semester, when you're kind of auditioning for all the different frats, or you're just going to all the different parties.
So neither of us have been in Greek life, so we can't speak on behalf of the Greek life community, but that's not how that works. But anyway, moving on.
Rag Week was a great time. And what I was, so, I mean, we were at the bar with young kids. I mean, we were the old ones there.
I mean, we don't know how old they were, but they were in college.
They looked 19 and 20. And I was just so shocked by kind of how good natured and wholesome they were, because we were fucking degenerates in college. Like, we were terrible shit people. Just when
speak for yourself. All right. What the hell?
I guess I'm projecting. But they were just, I don't know. I much preferred the Irish college student.
Yeah, I can agree that they're more wholesome. I saw minimal vapes. And, you know, the guys you noticed, yeah, specifically, were dancing with each other. They were hyping each other up. There wasn't like a huge bro culture. Not that I'm against that, but they seemed to be like each other's hype teams,
yeah,
in a lot of ways. And it was cute. I really loved the people that we met while in Galway, for sure.
Yeah, I definitely would have been friends with those guys. Galway stole my heart. But then we went over to Dublin, which, you know, Galway, we ate and drank a lot, but like not too much. And we slept 7-8 hours both nights. We were pretty responsible in Galway, but then in Dublin, kind of went out the window.
I mean, if you put me with Nim and Sinéad, they're not even huge drinkers. They're actually very wholesome, like healthy people. But I just get so excited. I'm like a golden retriever. And I'm like, let's get an Irish coffee and then let's dance. And Sinéad, I love you. And I just kind of get caught up in the whole thing. And you order a bottle of wine, and then sometimes it turns into 2 bottles of wine, and then gin and tonic, then a tequila shot, then I'm chugging a Guinness. And before you know it, I'm eating Domino's pizza at 3 a.m, you know?
Nim and Sinéad, by the way, being some of my friends that I've introduced to Kelsey.
My friends.
Yeah,
that
your friends now. Sinéad was on the podcast a while ago. Great individual. Go check her out. SC Coaching on Instagram. She's incredible and amazing. The best part was we were hanging out with the co-host of the podcast I produce at Spotify, my guy Pete. And this is my favorite thing in the world, and you've actually taken part in this a couple times in the past few years. When I bring together people that I care about from different walks of my life, whether, you know, Kelsey, you and I go back to the ESPN days a couple years ago, a different era of my life, and here's PT, this guy in this current era of my life, and Nim is a fan of the podcast that PT and I work on together, and here we all just hanging out in Ireland of all places. Like, who would have thunk this? I posed this question to you last week, Kelsey. you and I, not to get into it, but you and I this time last year, like, just kind of rekindled our friendship and got really, or started to get really close again. And so if you would have asked me a year ago, February 2022, what are the odds that Kelsey and I this time next year will be living together in the UK, visiting Dublin, Ireland, getting hammered with the friends of the podcast that I work on? The odds would have probably been 300,000 to 1.
Slim to none, for sure. And that's kind of the beauty of podcasting, I think, is really cool. And all of the opportunities that you've gotten that have led you to meet so many cool people. Pizzi was awesome. His wife, Elaine.
Soon to be wife.
I'm sorry. Soon to be wife, Elaine. So sweet. Like, the people you meet are just generally amazing people. And so I'm really grateful that I've gotten the chance to meet them and that you've introduced me to them. I'm grateful for that.
They all liked you too. I can't wait to see the TikToks that you make from your time in Ireland. I want to talk about this because I told the people last week at the very beginning of the podcast that we would later get to your TikTok. I forgot. And I think I also got your handle wrong. Let me be clear. It's at kelsey.davis_.
Correct.
What do you do on your TikTok? What kind of videos do you put out there?
It's a variety. So I kind of make TikToks based on how I'm feeling. So like weeks that I'm feeling really girly into makeup, into hair, going out somewhere. I love fashion. So I'll do like get ready with me's or like pick an outfit with me, which is some of the most fun that I have with TikTok, is just like kind of being more creative with my own look and my own fashion. That's something I've recently got into in like the last 2 years. And now I'm really into that. But I also like to show people cool places. So our travels have been a great example of that, is like, I'll find a small neighborhood in London and find a small business. We don't do chains. We don't do chains on this podcast. And just record that small business, do a voiceover of what they do and why you should support the small business. I like to do the vlogs, like the day in my life, like how I spend a Saturday in London or how I spent a Saturday in Galway. So those will be coming out, the Ireland ones. I just kind of have to be more disciplined about it because I've simply been dying and sleeping 12 to 14 hours trying to recover from Ireland. But that's mostly what I do. We've done some hiking ones, and some of them get great traction, and then some of them get maybe 8 likes. And that's so cool, because even if one person goes to that small business, I'm like, hell yeah. They just got like, you know, one more sourdough. Bye. Thinking of Sourdough Sophia in North London. Check it out. Dope business. And it's colored pink. So
your favorite. You got a great tote bag for them.
Love my tote bag. Love Sourdough Sophia.
What inspired you to start putting videos out on TikTok? Because it takes a lot for people to put themselves out there. I mean, I know of all the people I know on TikTok that consume TikTok, way more consume and only a select few create.
So my background was in television production and video editing in college, worked in that industry with you for a little while, and then moved on to start my master's in nutrition. And once I started my nutrition education, I kind of fell off with the video editing. I used to make some YouTube videos and stuff, but I realized that I don't love it as a career. Maybe it was live television. There's a few reasons why I didn't love it, but I loved it as a hobby my whole life. Like, I used to put out like YouTube makeup tutorials and stuff with my friends when I was like 12, 13 years old. And I forgot that it used to be fun for me. And I started doing it during the pandemic just a little bit, but I've never taken it too seriously. And I think that's why I'm not burnt out from it at all, is just, I'm not on a schedule. I don't need to get a certain amount out a week. I just like making them. It's cool to show my family, especially what I'm doing. Like, my dad's like, oh, I didn't even know you were in Ireland, or like, how was Spain? I'm like, check my TikTok. I'll show you a day in Spain. So that's really cool. And yeah, that's about it. It's just really a lot of fun for me. But
so I've been putting out stuff for a number of years, whether it's my podcast, my writing, all sorts of different things. And I cannot help but, if something doesn't perform as well as I wanted to, views, clicks, likes, whatever, I somehow compartmentalize that as, oh, this is a reflection of me. People don't care about me. They don't like me. They don't think this was as funny or creative or insightful as I hoped. How do you not let that, like a video that you worked hard on, that you are proud of, how do you not let a negative reception affect your sense of self?
So to be clear, like it feels really good when things perform well. And that is my hope when I post it. But at the same time, you kind of have to redefine what success is for you and why you're putting that content out there. So like I posted one yesterday. It's not doing great. Of Petersham Nurseries in West London in Richmond. Gorgeous area. But I got, you know, 20 likes, and the odds that somebody goes and experiences what I experienced is like enough for me. I think it's really cool to just highlight small businesses in general. And so like, that's my first thought is like, I want to share this because I want people to go there. I don't want to share this because like I want recognition or fame or anything like that. I think it's a really cool place. And I wasn't planning on making a TikTok that day. And then I saw how gorgeous it was and I was like, God, I got to share this with people. Like, this is a perfect place to get breakfast or lunch when you're in that area. So I think you kind of have to redefine why you're posting things. And a great example is you posting about your mental health last week. Like, you got great traction from that. But even if you didn't, Troy, one person read that and was like, oh my God, somebody's feeling how I feel. That's enough.
Yeah. And by the way, thank you to everyone who reached out to me last week. I was at a coffee shop in West London last week, and I was just, it's just one of those days, Kelsey, like I was just really down in the dumps for really no good reason. I couldn't put a finger on why. And this happens to me occasionally.
Where, happens to all of us for sure.
Yeah. And I guess I didn't really think about that. I didn't realize that it happens to all of us. I was just, you know, and I'm a very motivated person. There's never really going to be a day, no matter how depressed I am, where I'm just going to lay in bed all day. That's just not really my vibe. But I didn't really want to do much work. I just had kind of this albatross on my shoulders, just like this anxiety, this feeling in my chest, my heart beating fast, and I couldn't explain why. And then I feel guilty because I have, I think, the most ridiculous life. Here we are in the UK doing all these things, taking a quick plane over to Ireland for 5 days. Like, my job is great. I'm having new experiences left and right. I have, you know, an incredible best friend like you that I can do all these things with. My life is awesome. And I know I've had many people say, God, like, I wish I could do what you're doing right now. And so then I feel even worse knowing all of that and feeling guilty because why aren't I happy? Why am I feeling like this? And then I beat myself up for not, you know, for feeling that way. And I had a lot of people reach out to me, people who are much higher profile than me, say, dude, I feel the exact same way. I have this incredible life, but still there's just some days where it just gets you like that. And I'm feeling great. I mean, I'm physically not feeling great, but mentally I am feeling great now. It's just a quick blip on the radar. And I guess that's pretty natural.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you have to think, material things, experiences, like they're all wonderful, but mental health, it doesn't work like that. Think about the amazing celebrities who we thought were so brilliant. Like, you immediately think of Robin Williams, like someone who, you know, took his own life, and he probably could buy anything. He could have experiences, travel. Like, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Like, mental health is going to put itself first. And I think you cope with it in a really good way. Like, you deal with it in a healthy way, but like, we're all going to feel that way. And I don't think it's helpful at all to be like, oh, well, people have it worse. Like, I think it's okay to recognize that people have it worse, but it doesn't take away from how you're feeling or your experiences at all. And just hearing how many people relate to that, it's like, we can't discredit our own emotions.
I've been thinking a lot about this thing that, you know, they call in the philosophy world, the hedonic treadmill, which for those of you who don't know, basically is...
I don't know.
Okay. So it basically means there's never enough. You can have so much ambition. You know, we say, once I get this, I'll be happy. Once I get this job, I'll be happy. Once I marry this person, I'll be happy. Once I get this amount of money, I'll be happy. But then you get that thing and you're not happy, and then you just advance the goalpost to the next rung on the ladder. It's like you win the Super Bowl. You know, once I win the Super Bowl, I'll be happy. But then you get to the Super Bowl and you win it and you go crazy for 5 days. And then you're like, wait, nothing inside me has changed. I feel the exact same. And so then you're like, well, now I need to win the Super Bowl MVP. And then you just keep changing the goalposts. You're never happy. I am experiencing that right now. And I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what is enough for me? I would think a lot of people would look at my life right now and say, dude, you've got enough. You've got a great job and you've got a lot of people who care about you. You can travel. You've got enough. I don't feel like I have enough. So I'm wrestling with, should I be content with the enough I have now? Is it a sign of a lack of ambition for not striving for more? I don't know. I'm struggling. I am a victim of my own ambition, where I'm never satisfied with what I'm doing because I always feel like I have a bigger potential and I always feel like I'm falling short of it. And I wish I didn't live that way.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this before, and something that really helped me when I was in therapy, my therapist Marcy, I'll never stop talking about her.
You will never.
I literally,
you were giving
love
her so much free business for all of our Connecticut listeners.
I know, seriously, like Apple Valley Health, Marcy, best therapist ever. But she gave me journal prompts sometimes because that's kind of how I organize my thoughts and feelings. And one of them was to look at your life as pillars. And I look at it from a social perspective. So that's like your friends, your family, your professional life, and then how you're doing individually, like your health, your like physical ability. And you try to keep those things level, because as certain pillars fall, then the house begins to fall or the roof is on level or whatever. And so like I kind of just write down like how I'm doing socially, how I'm doing within myself and my own goals, and then how I'm doing professionally. And I think sometimes where I think you differ is that you're looking at your professional life as a reflection of you, and those are two completely different things. And you're so driven professionally, but also like you have passion projects and things that you can do outside of your professional career. They just kind of happen to be related, like podcasting, like you're a podcast producer and one of your passion projects is your own podcast. So maybe it's needing a different outlet. But you are really hard on yourself, and I don't have any advice for that. I tend to be pretty content with what I have day to day. I do kind of do the same thing that you do. I'm like, oh, well, once I graduate college, right, from my master's, not my undergrad, I'll be less stressed, and then I can pursue X, Y, or Z. But that's not necessarily false. Like, it is a huge stressor on my life, and I think, like, once I've completed that degree, there will be room for more things in my life. Like, that's not false. So milestones can be helpful, I think. But in terms of happiness, I mean, you do a great job practicing gratitude. And for the most part, like, you're happy on your day-to-day life. So, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Maybe Marcy can help me out once I move back to Connecticut.
We're not moving back to Connecticut.
I am. I don't care what you do. I'm moving back to Connecticut. Back to your TikTok. I had one more question on that. So I have considered doing things like what you're doing in terms of kind of like a vlog or just taking video of all the things they are doing, because I do a lot. Like, I'm, as you know, I'm never one to just sit in the house and do nothing. I love getting out and doing things. I know it's very annoying to you. But I've considered doing that. But then I always talk myself out of it because I say, you know, I want to live in the present moment. I don't want to live my life so that I can post about it. I want to just be in the moment and enjoy those experiences for what they are, rather, you know, and not through the lens of what this is going to look like on TikTok. So when you're doing your videos, and I've been out with you when you're filming the garden, the coffee shop, whatever, how do you allow yourself to appreciate the moment that you're in when you're filming it for a video you're going to make?
It's so funny because you often will hear or see TikToks of creators being like, my job's a job, and, you know, like, there are hard parts of it. Fuck right off. It really, to TikTok and to record and to put a voiceover to things, is nowhere near the 9-to-5 or the 10 to 12 hour shifts that like healthcare workers work. It's just like, you're kind of fucking tone deaf if you think that it's difficult. And you do see me and recording out in public or a new business or something. I mean, I'm literally taking like 10 to 12 second videos really quick. Like we get our coffee. I'm like, let me just record what it looks like. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Stop. Put my phone down. Enjoy it. Like it's minuscule parts of the day that I'm recording. And there's never really been a time where I feel like I'm too wrapped up in my phone and how it looks to not enjoy the day and be present for the rest of the day. Like when we, I don't know why Portobello Market has come up twice now, but when we explored Portobello Market that day, I was just like, I just recorded a few things, but the day was so great. And we had so many deep conversations over a cup of coffee. Like it really didn't skew my day too much at all. And that's the other thing. I guess it depends on the quality of content that you're putting out. Like I'm not setting up a goddamn light and bringing out the tripod to the gym or to a local coffee shop. Like, God, I'm just not getting to that
point. I have beef with those people. Maybe, you know, as we said on last week's podcast, I'm a millennial, you're Gen Z. So maybe this is much more commonly accepted and embraced for Gen Z. But what are we doing with the tripod stand and the light at the gym? What is that about?
So here's the thing. I'm looking at it at two ways. I walked into a boutique gym the other day because I use ClassPass so I can go to different gyms throughout the week. And I saw this woman working out. She's smiling while working out, like being picture perfect. And she has the ring light with the phone. But she's also in crazy good shape. And in the moment, I cringed. I was like, oh, like I couldn't picture like really setting up my tripod and showing people how to work out. But then on the other side of it, I watch exercise creators on TikTok and they make me feel a lot better and more comfortable working out in the gym, especially women creators. They'll do like shy girl workout where you grab two dumbbells and they'll show you how to do a full body workout in the corner of the gym. Or this woman, for example, was showing people how to use certain machines. And I think in a world where there's so much intimidation around exercise, I actually, at the end of the day, really appreciate those people because I think they're helping more than they're hurting. As cringy as it looks, I use some of that content when I go to the gym. So I think it's for better.
Yeah, this is where we differ. You're so much more open-minded and are you more open-minded than me?
Yes.
Yeah, you would say that's true.
But I think like you're willing to kind of see the other side. I think you're not holding your opinion so closely.
Yeah, I just come from it. Exercise is such a pure thing to me. And it's something where I just like to be really present. And like, you know me, you remember me at the ESPN gym. I don't like talking to people at the gym. I'm very much like, let me get in, get out. I'm pretty intense and like I usually have my hood up. I try to be as unwelcoming as possible. I don't want anyone to talk to me. I want no interaction. I want to get in, get out, get a good sweat in, go on my day.
I remember you never warned me about that. And like we had maybe hung out twice and I saw you at the gym and I went up to you and you literally didn't speak to me. I was like, is this guy mad at me? Like you had your resting bitch face and you had no intention of speaking to me. And I was like, oh, word. Okay.
It sucked being that way at the ESPN gym, because you know me, I'm stuck in my ways. I'm never going to change. And then at the ESPN gym, all your bosses would be there and higher ups and people you're supposed to impress. And I'm just like,
anytime I saw management at the gym, I was like, yep, done my workout. Gotta go. Like for some reason, it's like seeing a teacher outside of school.
Right.
I'm just like, I'm out.
I miss that gym so much.
Great gym. Oh my God. I've never had a campus gym like that in my life.
Speaking of working out and exercising and good health, which is something I'm dying for some good health right now. Kelsey, you and I talk a lot about body image on our own terms. And I know this is something that you struggle with from time to time, kind of like where I have a bad day of being depressed. You sometimes experience a bad day where you just really don't like the way you look. You look in the mirror and you say to me, wow, I'm just not feeling as confident today, when as everyone who's watching this takes a look at you and they look at your TikTok and they say, wow, damn, that girl is fine. Like, what does she have to worry about?
Me?
Shut up. I'm cutting it out.
I'm having a good body image day.
Thank goodness. So when you have a bad body image day, what is that like for you?
It's tough. I think we've every girl I've ever talked to, men are less apt to talk about it, have bad body image days, no matter how fit you are. And it sucks. It sucks. And sometimes it can be body dysmorphia, or sometimes it's actually just the truth. And like, women's bodies change so often. Like, I haven't weighed myself in years, but I remember when I was really interested in the number, and it would change drastically all the time, especially like with your menstrual cycle. Each phase, your body is completely different. I'm bloated one day, I look great the next day, I'm starving one day and I'm eating everything under the sun. The next day I don't have an appetite. Like, and I try and think about that when I'm having a bad body image day. It's like, okay, well, like, I'm a woman, one, and my body's going to be consistently changing, and I kind of just have to recognize that and work through it. Sometimes I will manipulate my schedule to make myself feel better, so I'll drink a lot more water, try to have a healthier meal or exercise, but not kill myself in those things, because I have a healthy relationship with food and exercise at this point, but I didn't always. In the bad body image days, I would torture myself for a long time. I don't do that anymore. I look at it, I'm like, okay, well, there's something I can do to make myself feel a little bit better, but I'm not focusing on this the entire day. I'll, you know, either put on a cute outfit or put on my sweats and just chill and try not to think about it again.
What would your advice be to someone who maybe doesn't have as healthy a relationship with food and exercise as you do, who does struggle with body image?
So you?
Sorry. I don't struggle with body image. I definitely have not a good relationship with food and exercise, but
yeah,
not because of the way I look. It's more a feeling.
Yeah. And I know exactly the feeling that you're talking about, is like, especially when you indulge one day, the next day you're feeling guilt around food and exercise.
Yeah. What did I say after our bender in Ireland? I was like, all right, yep, it's time for me to exercise and not eat for the next 4 days.
Yeah. Like, you hate yourself.
Yeah.
That shit sucks. I used to feel that way a lot, and I should think about more of the process that I went through to get where I am now. I know one of them was changing almost everybody that I follow on social media to dietitians and fitness gurus, I guess, that were more encouraging of a healthy lifestyle and a healthy relationship with food. So if I saw anybody promoting like low calorie diets, keto diets, intermittent fasting, anything like that, I immediately got rid of them, because they were so body weight and body image focused that like, it was like, do this diet to look this way. And I found that so incredibly detrimental to my mental health and how I looked at food and food labeling. So once I started following dietitians, and once I got into nutrition school, I learned how to not label foods as good or bad. It's more like nutrient dense and like less nutrient dense, but like learning how all of those foods can kind of fit into my diet. And it was mostly like true education that helped me get to the point where I am. And oh, the internet, it's filled with so much nutrition information that is false. And it's seriously so detrimental. Like, you were listening to a podcast yesterday and I wanted to put my head through a brick wall. Like, none of that is science backed. And so like, what were they saying?
Some of the claims were orange juice is bad for you. You know, you should really be eating diets high in red meats, a lot of steak and a lot of beef. That's where all your essential vitamins are.
Fucking hell, Troy. Yeah, they was promoting the keto diet. Like, if you want to do your own research about nutrition, that is fine. I highly recommend doing that via Google Scholar, Science Direct, anything that has peer-reviewed articles and have science-backed facts about nutrition. The keto diet has one long-term study. Everything else is a short-term study, which will show that it's effective for weight loss. But long-term studies, which has only been one, has shown that it's been detrimental to your heart and your cardiovascular system, and it's not sustainable for long-term weight loss. And so anybody that you're getting nutrition information from that isn't either a dietitian or a certified nutrition specialist, like, look at their credentials. That's my dad sends me articles all the time about this nutrition, and I look at the author. It's a fucking psychologist. Like, what are you joking? I have been studying nutrition for now 2.5 years. I've taken courses not only on like nutrition science, but also like how to give nutrition information and nutrition advice. It's so fucking skewed on the internet. Please check your sources and check who's writing these articles. Even like somebody who's gone through a 10-week nutrition certification program, fuck that. They have no idea what the fuck they're talking about. And especially if they're promoting weight loss or a diet that you feel like you can't sustain long term, enough. Find a dietitian or somebody that promotes the lifestyle that you want to live and focuses on your goals. And if they're body image focused, it's not going to help.
Thank you for that. That's a really important message. And I'm very proud of you for saying all of that.
Ooh, it pisses me off.
You and I were talking earlier because I have a friend who's going through some medical issues right now. And, you know, it's funny in the American health system, we're definitely much more reactive than proactive. And you can get into all sorts of theories as to why that is the case. Mm-hmm. But doctors, we were saying, don't really have much background in nutrition science at all. They maybe take one course throughout all of the courses that they take. And so they're really not the ones that you should be going to for your nutrition advice.
So let me be very clear. Doctors study for years. I'm not discrediting them at all. Like, they're brilliant and they will save your fucking life if they need to. But there are a ton of studies, and you'll find that on nutrition databases, that doctors don't get a lot of nutrition education, and that's why there are dietitians. And like, someone asked me the other day why there were dietitians in the ICU. Like, I've worked in a NICU for like a year, which is the neonatal ICU. Like, there has to be a dietitian there because the infant nutrition, the amount of information and background you need on that, the doctor just doesn't have. That's why they consult a specialist. And so, yeah, they take maybe one or two nutrition courses, and that's why there are specialties. And that can go for a lot of different specialties. I just know within nutrition, it's preventative medicine a lot of the time, but it can also be in like an ICU or like a long-term care unit or something like that. But what I was saying was essentially is like, a lot of the time you'll find a nutrition or deficiency problem and you'll band-aid that with like a supplement. So for example, like, you're vitamin B12 deficient, right? And so it's like, okay, we'll supplement vitamin B12. And that's not necessarily how a dietitian would go about it. Essentially, they'd be like, okay, well, if you're getting vitamin B12 in your diet, there may be an absorption problem. And why is your body not absorbing vitamin B12? Well, it could be a problem that you have in your small intestine. Like, within your ileum, there's a certain part of the small intestine that absorbs vitamin B12. So it's more finding the root problem. And a lot of that time, it can be a deficiency in another vitamin or mineral, and that's why you're not absorbing iron, for example, or whatever. Those are not correlated, but that's kind of how dietitians look at it. And I'm not a dietitian yet. I'm in training. I'm almost done my nutrition master's degree, but like, I'm always promoting people to go to a dietitian if they're having like health problems, because I think they do often look for a root cause.
Yeah. Whenever I am not feeling great and I bring it up to you, you always, the first thing you jump to is, how can we fix this with nutrition? You know, like, drink some orange juice, or you tell me to eat something or get something, eat something with zinc in it rather than supplemented, or, you know, I don't know. I like the way that you look at it. It feels much more natural. And as someone who's like not the biggest fan of the American medical system, I much prefer to try to attack things naturally.
Well, people look at nutrition, they're like, it's holistic. And like, sure. But it's also like, it's medicine. Yeah. Like, zinc is an active ingredient in a lot of medications that will kill a cold. You can get zinc in fortified cereal, different fruits and vegetables. You need antioxidants when you're sick. So like, yeah, you're taking Dayquil, but like that's just masking the symptoms. Like my immediate thought is like, how do we kill this? And that's with zinc, that's with rest, X, Y, or Z. So that's kind of how I look at it. Rest. Troy won't fucking lay down. Like just take a 3-hour nap.
Can't do it. The sun is up. I must be
I don't see
awake
the sun.
With the people.
I don't see the sun.
Yeah, we don't get much sun here. Something that I talk about in our 20s a lot is investing. And this is something that we're advised on often is about, you know, invest money now and all in bonds and stocks and IRAs so that much later on you can reap the rewards of it. I like to take that line of thinking into every area of your life. You know, you should stretch before and after exercise so that you prevent injury so that you are physically healthier and stronger later on. Ditto for nutrition. There's a bunch of things that you should be doing now in your 20s to make sure that your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and on are much more enjoyable than if you... Listen, you can get by in your 20s eating absolute shit. Your body's resilient enough and doesn't have enough wear and tear. You know, you can be fine and come out on the other side of it just fine. But what kind of things should we be doing right now in our 20s and early 30s to ensure good health much further down the line?
Well, I'm mad at you for saying eating like shit because we're labeling good and bad foods. That's not how life works. We can be enjoying we can enjoy the things that we like while still maintaining a balanced diet. So I don't think there's anything that I'm going to say you should or should not do. Would I like you to get your fruits and vegetables in? Yes. But I don't want you to eat fruits and vegetables that you hate. I want you to eat fruits and vegetables that you like. And like, for example, I was thinking about it last night. I know so many people that don't like fish, but it's full of omega-3s. It has vitamin B12. There are a lot of things that will benefit your health. Slap 3 fucking tablespoons of butter on it. I don't care because it's not about, oh, is butter bad for you? One, no, not in moderation. Two, if it's going to make you eat an entire piece of salmon, which has great health benefits, do it. Like, that's the thing is, like, I think you just kind of have to find ways to fit nutritionally dense foods into your diet in a way that makes sense for you. So, like, if you're going to eat raw broccoli, if it's dipped in ranch, fine. Like you, I can see you. You're labeling like ranch dressing as a bad food. But if that's going to get somebody to enjoy raw vegetables or cooked vegetables or whatever, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So like that would be my biggest advice is to find foods that you like and not put so much pressure on like broccoli, chicken, and brown rice. But like you like that, so that's fine. If you enjoy eating that, a rotisserie chicken and some flavorless rice
5 nights a week.
Yeah, go off. Like that's fine. But I think that we put too much pressure on ourselves for everything to be like this clean eating. It doesn't need to be like that. And also like I just spent the last 5 days having dessert every single day. Am I going to do that the rest of the week? No, because I feel like a sugar overload and my body feels bad. But like my advice is to listen to how your body feels. And if you feel like you're unhealthy in your diet, speak to somebody that can help you balance it out a little bit. But I would say put less pressure on yourself, especially in your 20s, to like eat certain things. Like there are foods that are obviously more nutritionally dense. Like get fruits and vegetables in. Highly recommend getting blueberries in if you struggle with like your skin or if you struggle with inflammation. But what I mean is that everybody's case is so different. And like the way that my body works is not the way that your body works. I have different health conditions than you do. We metabolize food differently. We have different exercise lives. Like somebody could be more stagnant, sit at a desk the entire day. Like neither of us do that. So like there is no general nutrition advice for anybody.
Since this is your third appearance on the podcast, I feel like the people really, really need to get to know you. They know me. But so as you said, you're wrapping up your degree soon. Where do you want your career to take you?
So I toy with this all the time because I think what motivates me most is helping people. But I would be fucking lying to myself if I said I didn't want to make a lot of money. So I think there are a few routes that I would consider going. One of them being working at a college or university. I think it would be really cool because that is an age where people really start thinking about their body image. They're, you know, possibly gaining the freshman 15, feeling bad about themselves. Like, I think college is just a really difficult time mentally and physically. And I'd love to aid people through that, and make them, you know, feel like they're living a healthier life without, you know, compromising their studies or their social life or anything like that. Like, being realistic with them, being like, okay, well, you're going to drink all weekend. So like, like, how can we make sure that you get your nutrients in and like maybe get a 30-minute walk in, whatever. Like, I kind of feel like I wanted somebody to be honest with me about my health and nutrition when I was in college. And it was a time that I think a lot of people struggle. So that's one way that I would go. I would also, you know, be a nutritionist for a Premier League football team. Like, no problem there. I think that would be really fun. I would love to work in sports again. But then I could also see myself like working in community health, which would essentially pay me absolute shit. But I think it's the people that need the nutrition health education the most. Along with community health, you often get like women, children, and infants, and helping them get food stamps or just get into any supplemental nutrition program and help them work through that and how to be healthier through that. I think those are the people that I could help the most. So we'll see. Like, I'll see what kind of opportunities there are closer to when I get my degree, but there's nothing I'm writing off at this point.
Well, if there's one thing I know to be true from my, you know, 5 years in the professional world, I've learned that good things happen to good people, and you are definitely good people. And I understand that, you know, I'm pretty confident that you will be making a lot of money and impacting a lot of lives pretty soon. So, Kelsey, thank you for joining me today. Thank you to all of you for listening, for watching. Go subscribe to Kelsey's TikTok channel. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Leave us all sorts of comments, love or hate. We don't care. Tell your friends, and I'll talk to you again next week.
Bye.